Well, good evening again, and it's been a good day. Enjoyed a lot of good thoughts this morning, and trust that the Lord will have a little something for us tonight as we look into His Word again. you'll remember that, you may remember, you may not, but a couple weeks ago when Alan LeBeau was here, he spoke to us about God and His wrath and His anger. I don't know if you call that or not. But that was the subject that he had in mind, and so it is. God's wrath and His anger will be poured out on unrighteousness and sinful and unrepentant men and women at one point in time. And it's an important subject, and certainly one that needs to be proclaimed to lost and dying sinners. And I'm thankful tonight that I can say that I'll be spared from that wrath and that judgment of God, not on any merit of my own, but only on His merit, only on the fact that I am covered by His blood. And while I would know practically all of you here tonight well enough to know that you're pretty much all believers, yet there's the extension of salvation that goes out to whosoever will, that you wouldn't find yourself in that position where God's wrath was poured out upon you, but rather that you would be saved by the blood of the Lamb. I'm reminded in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31, it talks about it's a fearful thing, it says, to fall into the hands of the living God. And while it's talking about apostate people in that book, in that passage, yet it's for all people that are unrepentant. It's a fearful thing. Lots of times you see, or you used to see, no fear on cars, on a poster or something. Well, here's something to fear. To fall into the hands of the living God. But tonight, I'd like to look at the flip side of that coin, you might say. Not the wrath of God, but rather the love of God. And I think that's been a subject that we've been speaking about, thinking about, considering ever since we gathered together this morning to remember the Lord, the love of God. Love is an interesting word. Dictionary defines it as a genuine, as a strong affections and a devotion to another. With regards to God, it's His great concern and love for mankind. Someone has said that the greatest motivating force in the world is love. And I think we could probably agree to that as we think about it, consider it. A lot of things we'd do for love that we wouldn't do for money or, position or anything else. So love is a great motivating force, and certainly it was the force, the motivating factor that the Father would send His beloved Son to die for us. I don't think we'll really ever fully understand the side of glory that is the love of God, or why He would commend, or we might say demonstrate, His love towards us as described to us in Romans chapter 8, or 5 and verse 8. But we all can, and we should, rather rejoice in the fact that God so loved us. And there's so much in that little "so." He so loved me, and He so loved you. And we can rejoice in that fact that He's interested in all of us, even to the point where it's said that He knows the hairs on our head. He sees small, infinite things or minute things. He sees a bird that will fall on the ground and these sort of things. And it's good to know that God loves us. The Scriptures, the Bible, our book, our text, it certainly abounds with examples of God's love and His expression of that love as He walked here on this earth. And I'd like to turn you to John chapter 11, where we'll look at one of those examples. And, of course, it's the example when he was concerned, and he dealt with Mary and Martha as Lazarus was taken to home, as it were. Okay, John chapter 11, we'll read some of these verses together. You don't have to read, but I said that once and we all began to read, I think, but anyhow. John chapter 11, I'm going to read the first five verses. Now a certain man was sick, and his name was Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Then when Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha, he loved her sister, and he loved Lazarus. Skipping down to the 17th verse. Then when Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had been lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way, and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come, and calleth for thee. Now we're going to skip down to verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then this amazing verse, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. Now we'll stop there with the thought of Jesus wept. To think that the very God of the universe weeping with others. Mary and Martha had lost their brother and were saddened along with the other Jews and friends of Lazarus. And weeping is an expression of our sadness lots of times. And it it really touched the heart of the Lord Jesus to see this sorrow in Mary and Martha. And I think, as he was sorrowful for that, I think of how he must weep over men and women and boys and girls who are passing into a lost eternity, eternity without Christ, and with only one destination for them, and that would be in hell. And that must cause great concern and weeping for the Lord over that. And I think, too, that perhaps the Lord is sorrowful and weeping, as it were, even over men and women, boys and girls, who know him as Savior and are living their lives just basically for themselves, with no concern for the lost and hurting souls around them. So I would say to myself, I wonder how many times would I cause the Lord to weep? And I would ask you, how many times have you caused him to weep? And I would say, may God help us that we might live our lives so that we would not bring sorrow to his heart because of the way we live. And so it says, Behold how he loved him. an expression the Lord Jesus gave in his love for Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, and those others that were sorrowing there with him. I would think of another occasion when Jesus was approached by what we call the rich young ruler. Let's turn back to Mark chapter 10. And we'll just read from 17 till 22. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. And I never could, haven't so far seen what indicated this guy could be young, but maybe this is it. He came running. Most of us that are old aren't usually running too much. But anyhow, this guy came running, okay? And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor your father and mother." And he said unto him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest: go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieving, for he had great possessions. The Lord looked upon him, and he loved him. I think of this young fellow, we'll call him young, so close, you know. He came and he, before the Savior's feet, fell in reverence, I would say, in worship, and yet so far away, so close, but so far. Wasn't it Agrippa that said to Paul, "Almost thou hast persuaded me to become a Christian"? And I think that's a sad, sad thing, but it's recorded for us here that Jesus, beholding him, loved him. The Lord loves each one. He expressed that love in his willingness to come here to this earth. He came, humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because of these things, one day God will highly exalt him. And he's given him a name which is above every name, and at that name of the Lord Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'd like you to turn to another passage in Matthew this time, chapter 14. We'll read verses 13 through 21, and this is the feeding of the, what they would call 5,000. Undoubtedly, we're a lot more there than 5,000, but this is what it's termed as. So this is the Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, and verse 13. And when Jesus heard of it, that is, the death of John the Baptist, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." They said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them thither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down in the grass, and he took the 5 loaves, the 2 fishes, and looking up into heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they all did eat, and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 20 basketfuls. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now that's quite a few group. That's quite a group. 5,000 people. I don't know, just, you know, if you're in the parking lot, I doubt if you could fit 5,000 people in the parking lot. Excuse me. But the Lord Jesus, looking upon them, it says, looking out on them, he had compassion on them, in the verse 14. He was moved with compassion. His love for men and women was expressed there in the word compassion. And as he looked out, I wonder what he saw. I wonder what he saw in that multitude. We know he saw the sick. We know he saw the sick because it says that he healed them. But I think probably he saw a lot of broken-hearted people. I think he saw discouraged people. I think he saw empty hearts and lives without no hope. I think he saw sheep wandering around with no shepherd to guide them. Many years have passed since then, but not much has changed. As we would maybe look out on multitudes, wherever it might be, where groups of people are gathered, I think there's undoubtedly the same problems. There are many that are sick all around us. In spite of even modern medicines that we have today, there's still sickness, a lot of sickness. There's a lot of broken-hearted, broken marriages, broken homes, abandoned children, excuse me. Bethel asked me if I needed any water. I said, no, I don't need the water. No, Jason's already getting it. Thanks, Jim. But apparently I needed more than what I thought. I was doing pretty good up until tonight, but anyhow, thanks. I think he sees out, as he looks out, I think he still sees broken-hearted people. I think we can see them, and we know of different ones that have broken hearts, broken lives, folks with no hope, mankind in general going to and fro with no peace, no joy, not knowing the love of God and His forgiveness. And that's a sad thing. It behooves us to live our lives in such a way that people can see the love of Christ in us. They can see joy, peace, love, all these things. We were admonished about that this morning. But God's love never changes. We're reminded of this in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. It calls it an everlasting love. And I'm really thankful for that. Even right now, we experience the love of God and His compassion, His forgiveness, His guidance and direction. We experience that now, and then even in all eternity, we'll experience the love of God. This morning we looked at, and it was a couple of weeks ago that I thought about this subject, and it's interesting that this morning Brother O'Shea there brought us, or took us to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'd like to take you there again. 1 Corinthians 13. Verses again and be thoughtful of them and how it might affect us in our lives and how we ought to act one towards another. And it says, though I speak, this is chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have all these gifts, and have not love, and become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. just an annoying sound because it means nothing. And though I have a gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. And remember, it doesn't take too much faith to remove mountains. What more Jesus said? If you had the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed and it'd be gone. But even if I had that kind of faith, that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, a lot of folks that are concerned about poor and those in need, and it's a good thing. I think the Lord wants us to. But even though we bestow all our goods to feed the poor, though I give my body even to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly. Seeks not its own. Not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But then that which is perfect is come, and that which is part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, no thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is what? Love. All these things we could have, and it would mean nothing if we don't have, or didn't do it in love. So for husbands, wives, all of us, boys and girls, men and women, the Lord calls us to love one another, and He gives us the instructions on how to do it. Suffers long. How many times are we impatient with one another? It doesn't envy. Doesn't present itself as me first. And it doesn't think any evil. All these things. And God calls us to love one another, even as He loved us. So finally tonight, there's one other thing that I want us to consider, and that's in Romans chapter 8. So we'll back up a book here. Romans chapter 8. And we'll read these verses from 31 to 39. So what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather than is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So, just to be an encouragement to us today as we continue on, God loves us. He died for us. He sent his son who died for us. He wishes, his hope would be that we might love one another even as he loved us. And so those were my thoughts tonight, and we have a little time, and I figured we probably would, because that's about the way those goes with me. But anyhow, I brought along my trusty little radio here. Finish the evening here. This is a piano instrumental, but the songs are ones that we know. So I think in your mind you'll be able to go over the words, even some of the, even the children. There's some one song in there that they would recognize and be able to rehearse the words in their mind as the music is played. And then maybe Joe, would you close in prayer when the music's done? Thank you. Okay, here we go. This lasts about 6-7 minutes. And let's see if I get the right button. Sure. Thank you. page off your word, please.
Take our place, take our place. What great love we had for us. And I pray that as we go through our days, that we, each thing we do, we have love and concern for others. And what a reminder we have in mind of that. And, pray we might do that and show that we are one of your. By the way, we ask you to come for this time and pray for anyone that may know that was sick or dealing with different things that you know of. And we hope that we can pray for this time for us and pray for you.
Thank you.